This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Welcome to the Mind Growth podcast series from Learning Teams Inc. as part of their Hop into Action program. This series is supported by the best-selling book series, The Hop Beginner's Guide to Doing Safety Differently, available on Amazon Books in print and Kindle formats. In today's episode, we will hear a discussion of the Hop principles and the role of systems and context in shaping behavior in the construction industry from Dave, a seasoned construction worker with over 20 years of experience. He's seen the evolution of safety practices and has a pragmatic approach to work. And Mike, a younger yet experienced safety officer, passionate about the Hop principles and always looking for ways to integrate them into daily operations. So please, grab your favorite beverage, sit back, and listen now to this story about context drives behavior.
You know, Mike, I've been thinking about what you said the other day, about how systems and context drive behavior here on the job.
Yeah? What part got you thinking?
The part about how it's not just about the rules we follow, but how the whole system around us shapes what we actually do. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and it makes sense that sometimes we cut corners, not because we want to, but because the situation almost pushes us to.
Exactly, Dave. That's what the Hop principles are all about. It's easy to blame the worker when something goes wrong, but if you look closer, it's often the systems and context that are driving those decisions.
Right? Like when there's pressure to meet a deadline. Or when the tools we need aren't working properly. It's not that anyone wants to make unsafe choices, but sometimes it feels like we don't have a choice.
You hit the nail on the head. When we talk about Hop, we're saying that people's actions are influenced by the systems they work within. The procedures, the equipment, the time pressures, they all create a context that drives behavior. That's why it's important for us to look beyond just the immediate action and think about the whole environment.
So how does this tie into that operational learning thing you keep talking about?
Operational learning is all about understanding how work is really done, not just how it's supposed to be done. It's about listening to the people who are actually out there doing the work, people like you, to find out what's really happening on the ground.
Kind of like what we're doing now, talking about what really goes on.
Exactly. These conversations are crucial. They help us see the gaps between the procedures and the reality. It's where we can identify potential problems before they lead to an incident. But it's not just about spotting problems. It's about understanding why they happen and how we can fix the system to support safer and more efficient work.
That makes sense. I guess it's like when we talk about those 4 Ds you mentioned. Dumb, dangerous, difficult, and different. Those things are usually signs that something in the system isn't working right.
That's right. The 4 Ds are like red flags that tell us we need to pay attention. If something feels dumb, like a procedure that doesn't make sense, it's probably a sign that there's a misalignment between the work as imagined by the people who wrote the rules and the work as it's actually done.
Or when something's dangerous. That's pretty obvious. But sometimes you don't realize how dangerous it is until you're in the middle of it. Like when we're forced to work too close to heavy equipment because there's no room on the site.
And that's why it's so important to report those situations. When something's dangerous, it's often because the system didn't account for real-world conditions. Same goes for things that are difficult or different. Those are signs that the task might not be as straightforward as it seems.
Yeah. I remember when we had to move those steel beams last year. The way it was planned out, it looked easy on paper. But when we got to it, the whole thing was a nightmare. Tight spaces, uneven ground, and not enough people to handle the load safely. We had to improvise a lot.
And that's where the context comes into play. The plan didn't match the reality, so you had to adapt. But that's also where the risk comes in, because when you're forced to improvise, you might end up taking shortcuts or working in ways that aren't safe.
So what should we be doing when we spot these 4Ds? How do we make sure the system gets fixed instead of just ignoring the problems or pushing through them?
The first step is recognizing them, which you're already doing. Then it's about reporting them in a way that's constructive. We need to use operational learning sessions like learning teams or that new learning tool, the 4Ls, like lack, long for, and learnt, to talk about what's not working and why. The goal is to learn from these situations and improve the system so that it supports safe and efficient work.
It sounds like a lot of talking, but I get it. The more we understand the system and how it affects us, the better we can make it. And maybe we'll avoid some of those headaches in the future.
That's the idea. It's not about adding more rules or blaming people when things go wrong. It's about creating an environment where the right decisions are easier to make and where we're constantly learning from what's actually happening on the ground.
Makes sense. I guess if we can get everyone on board with this way of thinking, we might just make this place safer without slowing down the work.
That's the goal, Dave. It's about working smarter, not harder, and making sure that the systems we put in place actually help us do the job safely and efficiently.
Well, I'm in. It's worth a shot if it means going home safe at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And it starts with conversations like this one. So let's keep talking, keep learning, and keep improving the system. That's how we'll make real progress.
Sounds good to me. Now, let's finish up lunch before the boss thinks we're slacking off.
Back to work it is.